All right, let's be sure we're in fellowship. All right. Philippians 4, we're at the end of the discussion with regard to the situation that needed to be taken care of in verses 2 and 3, that the feud between two of the ladies in the royal family. The discussion ends up with Paul reminding everybody, our names are written in the book of life. And this comes off of, one, our citizenship is in heaven. This is a registry. And any discussions we have in Scripture about blotting names out need to be carefully regarded in their own right, in their own context. This is kind of challenging. I'm the first to admit it. But anyway, I just wanted to give you verses dealing with the book of life. We gave you Revelation 3:5. The overcomer is a believer. This is based on 1 John 5:4. Who is he that overcomes? John answers the question. John also is involved here with this book. So he has overcomer as a term John uses for the salvation adjustment. And it only requires faith in Jesus Christ. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. That's saving faith. That's that grain of mustard seed. The question is, how much faith does it take to become a believer? The answer, how much faith is more faith than no faith at all? That's how much it takes. There's a plant called the mustard seed. It's a tree that grows up. And in a domestic garden, when it reached maturity, it dominated all the other plants and gave shade and was size. But it starts from the tiniest little seed, much smaller than, say, like, you know, a watermelon seed or something. And that's and planted, and it brings forth this. It's not a big tree like we consider trees, but it's within the context of a domestic garden, it's the big plant, typically of the area in Israel. So verse 5 answers the question, who is he that overcomes the world? Very good question. The world is the proverbial Titanic on its way to the bottom of the ocean. And the survivors are, who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. If you've done that, you're in. And there's no way your name's going to be blotted out of any registry in heaven. So every time I come to this book of life thing, I have to go, okay, what did I teach on that? It's one of those things that is unlike some things that just click with you and you stays with you. I have to go back and think it through each time. It's just one of those things I have that I deal with in it. But I'm just going to cite some verses. Revelation 13:8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. They will have adoration for the Antichrist. In a context dealing with the Antichrist, we know that he is, for one, among other things, this carries a lot of weight with leaders. Those, you know, we considered Reagan to be the great communicator. I mean, he had a background in the movies, acting, and so forth and so on. So some people have an ability. I didn't get this from George Bush too, okay? No way. I never accused him of being a great communicator. So an orator, Hitler was a great orator. You think he was just a screaming maniac. But he was really articulate. You ever read any of his speeches? Just for the heck of it? Very interesting. So there are people who have great oratorical skill. And that skill can be used for good and be used, obviously, for evil. So the Antichrist is an orator, among other things. And he is openly antagonistic to God, the God we know. What formulation? A lot of people are just, you know, they're atheists. They know there's no God. I run into the. You see these from time to time. These types. You know, they're unabashed about it. Do you believe in God? In interviews, no. Not in any way. I have no place for it. Soros, that gopher for the Rothschilds, a troublemaker. Soros, I saw him in an interview. Now I am believing God. I stumble across these people, and they disparage the idea. Well, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Life is what we make it. We're just here by accident. Blah, 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 blah. That's their doctrine. So that means basically we can do what we want to do if we can get by with it. Which would be true. Who's going to determine right and wrong? It's going to be consensus of a civilization. If the whole civilization says something that we know biblically is gross and out of line is okay, then it becomes okay. And we all are supposed to get on board with it, and there we are. It was given to him to make war with the saints. I'm in Revelation 13. And I'm in verse 7. And to overcome them, an authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. This is going to be, by the way, this is going to be overt Luciferianism. Luciferianism has been pretty much in the closet. It's coming out more and more. It's another one of these trends in the last days. That the popularity of Lucifer, there are statues in cities, in prominent places that have been put up their tribute to Lucifer. I think there's one in Detroit. Right out in the open. Of course, we've always had the symbols on every government building of this pyramid with the eye and all this business around. That's all over in cities and townships, if you're looking for it. It's prominent. But this whole thing's going to come out in the open. Lucifer, the Holy Trinity, and his Christ, the Antichrist. I mean, it's hard to imagine even now that this is going to have such visibility. But it's going to happen. When things get really tight, the rapture, other events, this invasion from their outer space, there's more and more talk about aliens and UFOs now than ever. It's just demon activity. It has to be based on the Bible. Now, some of you believe in aliens, go knock yourself out. Go see your next superhero movie. But see, it's a seduction. And you've been seduced. It is a seduction. It is a pervasive thing. As the powers that be get more and more desperate and pushed up against the wall, what do you think they're going to pull out of their arsenal? The same old propaganda line isn't going to work. So it becomes overtly in the world conflict between Christ and the Antichrist, Satan and God, and so forth and so on. So, I mean, you see this more and more. People think it's just entertainment because that's because they're not discerning. More and more you see it in a lot of these musical exhibitions where they're all dressed up in the black and white and all the symbols and all around. There are people who pull that all apart and they're not making stuff up. So Luciferianism will be in vogue. It's hard to imagine that it would be. But if people had a choice today, because, see, this Antichrist isn't going to tolerate any other religion. He won't like the Muslims or whoever you want to name. Certainly not the Catholics. He's going after them. He will. That we got in Thessalonians. He will not tolerate any other rivals. Whether the faith is the true faith or all these fake faiths. He won't tolerate any of it. This isn't going to be coexist. He's not going to have that as his motto. You can forget that. He is going to be, in some ways, he's going to be so politically incorrect, it's going to be, you know, funny. He's going to attack, you know, politicians today who really would strongly, overtly attack Christianity and keep it up and keep it up and keep it up, they probably wouldn't do very good. I mean, there's still some sense out there. But this guy, it's showtime. I'm not here to politically woo you idiots. I'm not here to make you feel good. You want to get out of this mess and get into our new world order and everything, and you better listen to me, and you better listen to me, and there's no questions asked. This is it. I'm back. That ought to be proof enough that you ought to follow me. I am back. There's no Jesus down here. I'm back. Oh, he'll be so articulate. He'll be attractive physically. He'll start pulling things together in that ragged mess called the EU. That's just absolutely, you know, pathetic now. It's on life support. So much of the EU, all the mess over there. He's going to pull all of it together. And he's going to have to do it rapidly. Hitler rose rapidly. I mean, yeah, there was some pre behind it. But when his star went up, it went up fast and hard. This is what he's going to do. He will commend himself. Well, he has Satan on his side. If you had Lucifer on your side, you could make a way for a lot of things for you. You can't believe the strings Lucifer can pull. If you want to sell your soul to him, so to speak, your star will rise. People have figured this out. I want to get ahead, and I want to jump way ahead, then I get involved in the Luciferian initiation. And this isn't just some little Halloween stupidity. This is a big deal. Jesus was invited into it. Fall down and worship me. I'll give you all this. Is that an empty boast? No. He is out. Satan has promoted people and continues to promote people who will go that far into it. There have been those who have said, count me out. I'm not going to do your little blood initiation and get into this and make these... No way, I'm going there. But there are those who have. We might be surprised who they are. And whatever talent they had, whatever abilities naturally they had, this was enhanced tremendously by embracing Luciferianism. Oh, privately. They may even confess it overtly sometime. Wow. So he will be... He will be he's given authority. Who gives him authority? There was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. I don't think it's the kind of blasphemy of the atheist. I don't. I think about it, but I don't think it's the blasphemy of an atheist. There is no God. There is, and I figured out how to overcome him. This has been Satan's boast. You can see it in the Old Testament. He wants to dethrone God. God has a throne, and he has a physical throne. He wants to come up and assault it. I mean, I know he's insane. You know, finite attacking the infinite. But never mind. When you get corrupt and you get far off, this is the kind of stuff people believe. I mean, we have examples all over in our world of systems people have bought into, hook, line, and sinker. And they're irrational. Even physically irrational. You know, I always use evolution as my example. But all this is just some long, drawn-out accident. When everybody in his right mind knows that organisms and things must come on the scene full-blown, or they don't work. How hard is that? They must come on the scene full blown. They do not continually change and evolve. Oh, we got an eye now. Isn't that great? I can see for the first time. I can see for the first time. I got all the pieces, but more than I was blind as a bat. I couldn't operate, but now I got an eye. Wow. You know, this, it's just, yeah. It's for the comedian, really. They're going to have a field day in the millennium with these. It'll be very popular. So this blasphemy continues. And he blasphemes God, his name, and his tabernacle, and those are in heaven. He doesn't say, there's nobody in heaven. Well, he blasphemes this. We're gone and out of here. He may even, I don't know what, but it's going to be demonically formulated and put together in a package. It's a religion, it's a belief system that's all going to be set up. And the world outside the plan of God, a negative volition, they're going to go nuts for this guy. They are going to absolutely, well, just like the most fanatical followers you've ever seen following something. When this great deception sweeps over negative volition, positive volition, as always, pulls out of it. As a believer in the Trib, obviously, you really need this book, among other things. You really need to be on top of this. Because the attempt to get you to buy into it will be so strong. Satan and his crowd, they'll be doing miracles. They don't have to do little crummy miracles, okay? Of the local corner magician. As impressive as that might be, no. They're going to do big miracles that will wow humanity. They're going to have a show. Well, we know the power of angels. We've studied enough scripture to realize that they can do some phenomenal stuff. One angel. Not that they're all equal, but that they can do phenomenal stuff. So they're going to do miracles. It's called miracles, lying wonders, signs in the heaven, all kinds of shows of different types. Holograms, things all over the place. People, this is going to be strong against humanity. What's their only hope? The Bible. And listening to those two men who are in the Middle East that's contradicting all this. Seize up the show. Which side do I want to go? Look at those people over there. They can't kill them. They're out there and they're doing some signs too. They're polluting rivers. They're announcing it ahead of time that they're bringing these environmental judgments. In other sorts, perhaps, as someone put me on to, one of my sheep put me on to, perhaps they kill the Antichrist with fire out of heaven trick. And bam, he's back on his feet. And the world goes another level of craziness over him. It's all a setup. It's a trap for these fools. And since they want to believe a lie, God lets these people do their thing. You know, I always ask, why does God let all this awful stuff run around on the earth and not checkmate it? End it. He is going to, the day of the Lord. He's going to expose the refuge of lies that humanity has wrapped themselves in. He is going to break it all down. So, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. You got an ear for the truth? Pay attention. It's always the appeal to people in the human race. You've got an ear for the truth? If you start having spiritual hearing problems, then you've got problems. But you have an ear for the truth. You know, it's like having a palate for something. You have to have an ear for it. Truth has a ring to it. Even presented by a person like me, with whatever limitations I have, truth has a ring to it. But if you are not positive, it doesn't. You don't get it. So you bring a person in here, you prepare them in every way and show them and tell them stuff and get them here. If they don't have an ear for it, it's like having an ear for music. Okay, that's on a physical level. It's not a spiritual issue. It's just on a physical level. Some people have an ear for things. It's like some people have a palate for some things. It's a genetics. So an ear for the truth. It's also in the churches too. He has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Bingo. That's it. I believe I have an ear for the truth. I believe that when I sort through it and I figure it out and I go over it, I can identify it. So, anyway, people, we won't have to deal with this. If anyone's destined for captivity, to captivity goes. If anyone kills with a sword he must be killed. You go around killing all these people, murdering all these people that don't agree with you, and all the Christians and everybody that he executes. He lives by the sword, he dies by it. And the sword is Jesus Christ, who he blasphemes and maligns. It'll be interesting, not so much for us probably, but it would just be interesting to be able to fast forward ahead and see how he articulates his theology. Exactly how he presents it. Exactly what he says. And I don't think it's atheism and there's no God in heaven above. That's a pretty worn out doctrine. It's been coming down all along. No, it's going to be better. There is a third heaven. Satan knows there's one, obviously. He visits it periodically. He's been there. He got fired there. Terminated. But he comes back. Things you try to get your head around. Does God let Satan into heaven? Yeah. And if you die before the rapture, you'll get to see him. You possibly get to see him after the rapture. Now he gets banned. He gets permanently banned from there, and it confined to the earth in the midpoint. So the first 3.5 years will be interesting. There's so much. Now the promoter of his cult, the cult of Alexander, the cult of the Antichrist, and he will be featured as the beast because this isn't nice time. Politicians today like to put on a nice face, even if they're out murdering people. You know, they're declaring war and going to war. They like to put a nice face on. We're good guys. We got our white suit on today. And we're going to go bomb the hell out of this country. It's not anything to us. And there's really a good reason for it. And you all need to get on board. If you're a patriot. See? But he isn't going to play this game. It's going to be raw, naked. It's going to be hardcore. There is no punches pulled here. No attempt at a popularity contest. I'll let my works serve for me. We're at the end game. This is a big time. I will. If you don't want to support me, fine. We're going to get this done. And here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints. And then the revelation of the second beast coming up out of the earth. Resurrection. Coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. Oh, that's interesting. He's a different personality. He's mild and speaks in, you know, religious, clerical terms. But his mouth's like a dragon. When you analyze what comes out of his mouth, it's still, you know what? Demonic doctrine. It's like a nice pope. Say nice things over people, and you get into the theology. Voice of a dragon. This is the promoter of the cult. That's the false prophet. The ultimate false prophet, and he also comes from the past. And my vote for him right now, Jane, doesn't matter, Nostradamus. He wasn't exactly a friend of the Catholic Church. And he issued prophecies. And he has a following today. He does, he has a following. Go online, people, oh, this is great. They listen to his prophecies. And they're mixed in, and some of them sound like biblical stuff, But that's the whole way to screw people up real good. I mean, look at all what people in history have bought into, really. Beyond, look at what they bought into. And look at all the advantages they had in the political and the economic realm, and talent and ability and bloodlines and all this business, and they're evil. That didn't give them any advantages, did it? Only positive volition to the truth gives you an advantage over all this world system. But he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast, chain of command, in his presence, and makes the earth and those who dwell to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. And he, therefore, is the promoter of the Alexander. He does the military political stuff. He does the religious stuff. It promotes the cult through technology and through all the things he'll have at his disposal. But he'll also be a killer too. Revelation. Oh, 17:8. And the beast. See, this is always one of my. This is one thing I always tripped up on until I just. Looked at it at face value. That's all you got to do. Look at sometimes it's you feel like a chump. Oh yeah, I can see that. But okay. And the beast that you saw was okay. You got to put yourself in 96-ish A.D. into the first century. Apostle John, he's being spoken to. The beast that you saw was, everybody knows that's past tense, imperfect tense of the simple to be verb. Is not. He's not on earth today. Furthermore, he is not a Roman. And is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world will wonder when they see the beast. This is a part of the amazement, the attraction, and it is the hook that pulls them in. This man will be able to prove who he is. It won't be any AI made up to look like Alexander, who wouldn't know what that was. No. He's not. He's somebody that they can use science and prove who he is. An investigative, bona fide investigative tool to realize that he is not somebody posing as Alexander. What person would have a chance today at posing as Alexander? Wouldn't have any chance at all. He'd be exposed instantly. But imagine that his body is resurrected to a mortal body and his soul is placed back in it and he's downloaded in his brain with all he needs to know and then some about the modern world. He'll be able to think circles around even the top people today. They bring up an objection, he will hammer it. And it's not like he's all going to be putting out a bunch of lies about who he, about what he's going to do and all that boasting. That's one thing. So, whose name is not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not and will come. They'll figure this out. They'll prove it to him and it will be bona fide. It won't be a lie. That part of it won't be a lie. That he's the final solution to man's problems is the lie. But the part that isn't the lie is his DNA matches that of Alexander. And how would we even know that? And there will be other things. It's going to be interesting. In the search for Alexander, and by that I mean his remains, which has been a quest of man for the longest time. There's a whole book out by a scholar, the different theories, ideas, the search for Alexander. We know from history that his corpse was fixed up Egyptian style. So he's in a mummy form. That's not the way Greeks buried their dead. They have found his father's remains, Philip. So is his remains in Greece? Are they in Egypt? If God's hiding them, it's like a lot of things. When God wants it to come out, it'll come out. If this is the most talked about man, the most of antiquity. More books written around him, more art, more stuff about him. Only Jesus Christ surpasses that. So what's the attraction? Well, I understand from a historical standpoint his great ambition, and he's going to conquer the world. He's going to rule it. And he was young when he started, and he had this, took his Greek army and took them all the way into India before they just got tired. We want to go back home to Greece. We are tired. And he pouted for 2 weeks in his tent and drank. Finally, he couldn't do anything. Dies in Babylon. His generals, and then they start fighting each other, and the empire split into four. That's in prophecy. That's in prophecy. That's in Daniel. We spent many long hours on this. Can't make this up to the rest of you. You don't have an interest in these things, that's your problem. You got your head somewhere else. This is what matters. We're seeing this unfold. And as I announce these things in a local church before positive believers, the angelic conflict lights up. Angels learn from us. Plus the fact that we're coming down to the finish line. This is not a time to be sloppy. You see this crazy world. You've got Bible prophecy in your soul. You personally make the move to get your crown. You see how excited these people are to get a medal hung around their neck. Just a medal. And they're in the midst of a whole bunch of names. Maybe one of them jump out and be kind of a celebrity. And, well, he's gay, so we're going to use him. They had to do that, didn't they? Well, of course they did. They have to do that. That's the nature of the thing. I don't expect anything different. Why emphasize in sports someone's sexuality, for crying out loud? But that's the way it is. The normalization of the abnormal. The dumbing down of the masses. People tell me about it all the time. A generation of the past that was set against this, now they're ambivalent, or I wouldn't say it, blah, 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 blah. We know. And Christians too. Churches, more tolerant. And doesn't that sound good, to be tolerant? You don't want to be an intolerant Nazi Christian and insist that this is a perversion? Love and coexist. Last days. That's the fight we're in. That's the fight we're in. To maintain our spiritual status in the midst of this. It's in your public school. At one level or another. Nobody's going to talk about ethics on that side of the equation. But I got off topic, which I'm wont to do. Here's the mind which has wisdom. You want a divine viewpoint? Of course you do. I'm in verse 9. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. The woman is the mother-son cult, originating after the Tower of Babel and got brought up. And it's a counterfeit religion that has a pseudo Mary and a pseudo Jesus. And in the idolatry of the ancient world, you have the mother son, Madonna son. Satan had to counterfeit that. What's the best way to fake out? People are getting ripped off all the time with counterfeits. Guy came up to me in Mexico. I got a Rolex watch. I don't think so. You either stole it, or it's a piece of crap that'll break into a million pieces before I get it back to my place. Because and they did it with cigars too. I got the really Cohiba here. And you see the little label? And I'll sell you this box for just $20. It's called counterfeit. Now some counterfeits are really good ones. There are people that are good counterfeiters. They got high grade stuff. You got to have an expert to see through those. So Satan is a good counterfeiter. And he's got all these willing people out here that'll fall for it because they're not interested in the truth. They want some other version of it. They want Christianity, but they don't want this, but they like this. It's just the way it is. So they're perfectly set up. We've all been victimized, all of us. And there are seven kings. Five have fallen. Here's a beast, a creature, with these seven heads going off of it, with one body, with this woman dressed like a harlot, and all of her finery, riding this beast, sitting astride this beast. You'll see this in Europe, not that way. There's a woman riding a bull. A part of art. You might go look these up. A woman, and of course it's a statue. And she is an attractive woman. Scantily clad, of course. And she's astride this big, powerful bull. And it's one of the symbols of Europe, Europa. And all this business, it's been out there. It's in your face. You never got introduced to the symbols and the signs. You just thought, oh, that's cool. It's got a little circle thing like that. Yeah, that's an inverted 666, stupid. Corporations. I'm not saying you can't do business with them. I'm not being that crazy. I'm just saying they like these symbols. God has symbols all over in His Bible that He used as symbols. The menorah, whatever. Okay. Satan's a counterfeit. Okay. One is. Now, if you're a person looking at that, you see seven heads and they are seven mountains. How can seven heads be seven mountains? Mountains represent kingdoms. I could go to all kinds of verses on that. Christ's kingdom is a mountain. It rises up over all the earth. So five have fallen. And you start down your list. Excuse me. You start with your list of kingdoms with Egypt. You go to Assyria. You go to Babylonia. You go to Persia. Who'd Alexander overthrow? He did in the Persian Empire. Can you count them? There they are. And when John was on the island of Patmos in the getting his revelation, he said, five are fallen. One is. Who is the one? Roman Empire. Number six. It is. And one is. The other has not yet come. When he comes, that's seven, he must remain a little while. The beast which was and is not is himself also an eighth and is one of the seven. And he goes to destruction. Now, I'm not going to work that out right now. But that has to do with his arrival. And on this seventh head, the head had ten horns coming out of it. And one horn grew up in the midst of the others. The ten horns represent ten nations of Europe that he will head up and run his conquest campaign up from. He's going to pick Europeans. Okay, well, I'll let you go. It's 1:30 and then some. Tuesday, we're all going to get together and rejoice. Next verse. Thank you, Father, for the grace that brings us together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us. In Christ's name, amen.